sharknadoes have now been reported all up and down the East Coast.
They're everywhere.
Is this going to be the big one? Is this going to be one we can't contain?
Emerging sharknadoes?
Shark again.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalegi.
I'm Christina Staffa.
Our next guest is the Shakespeare of science fiction, the creative genius behind all three Sharknado films, dare I say the Sharknado franchise. Back for his second appearance on the show, it is great to say hello once again to Thunder Levin. Thunder, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
It is terrific to have you on. We last spoke just before the premiere of Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No. How has your life changed?
My life has changed not one iota since then.
Is that good or bad?
No, actually, things have been going swimmingly. Since then, I've been pitching two TV series, neither of which has sold yet, but we've gotten some interest, and I am hopeful for the future.
Very nice.
That is good.
And you know, I realized as I'm watching Sharknado 3, it's like, I see Thunder. Yes, you had a cameo appearance. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it was during the White House reception. Is that where that was? Wow.
Yeah. I played a reporter named, we had a funny name for him, Mr. Benchley.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Benchley from the Post. And
wow.
I didn't even get to ask my question because, you know, Finn Shepard's a big shot. And
of course.
He's too important for me.
I think that you should have a cameo in all of your work.
I think you should insist on that.
Well, I usually do. I was
okay.
I was in the second one.
Really?
Twice, actually.
Nice.
Wow.
Walking past Ian Ziering in City Field, and then I was in the subway scene.
Mm-hmm.
And in all the films I've directed myself, I usually end up in there somewhere.
I would want to be like something so like, you know,
Hitchcock did
insignificant
that.
Insignificant in the background, you know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah. Hitchcock did that a lot. So that is that can be the signature of, you know, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing that really jumps out at me, I was listening once again to the interview that we did just to review. We had you on, what, like 5 months ago, whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about where you could take the Sharknado franchise, where these things could go on. And I said, you know what, maybe we can do one in space. And your response was, that's kind of a good idea. Then we're watching Sharknado 3, and I look at my wife, I said, oh my God, they're in space! It went to space!
Yeah.
I was clairvoyant in this whole thing, Thunder, it's amazing.
Yeah, sharks in space is something I had been saying ever since the first one took off, that we had to do sharks in space, and they wouldn't let us do it for the second one. But when the third one came around, it just seemed inevitable that we had to do it.
It felt right.
And you know what also felt right? David Hasselhoff. How can you go wrong with the Hoff?
The Hoff.
I mean... The Hoff was great.
I loved it. It was terrific.
And Sharknado 4 is in the future.
Right?
Right? It's you know, in the works.
Can we look forward to a 4?
Is it coming out?
I hear that there will be a Sharknado 4.
Oh, interesting.
I hear it will be out... this coming summer.
Oh. Well, you know what I think would be a very good, you know, addition to Sharknado 4?
What would that be?
A cameo by Ed Kalegi and Christina Staffa.
Wow, if you need a radio, you know, a little ADR recording, if you need a radio team that is so into Sharknado, if somebody is driving around and they hear a news story about the sharks approaching, boy, wouldn't it be amazing to hear
the
amazing tones of Kalegi and Staffa in a Sharknado movie?
It would. I can't think of anything that would make me think of sharks more.
See, we got, you know what? Our people have to talk to your people, and we got to make this happen between our people. Mm. This is such a great idea.
I'll tell you, I'm the writer of Sharknado, not the director of Sharknado. So talking to me about casting is probably just a waste of effort.
Well, we're begging. We're not talking.
You could put in a good word, I think. Be like, I know these two great people.
Gee,
I think
the
that,
writer
you know.
Can put Ed Kalegi says, Christina Staffa says, hint, hint, hint. But anyway, so oh my, so all things sci-fi has exploded in so many different ways. I mean, the genre, the art form, it's really back.
I mean, I think just the fact that there's a movie now called Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Yeah.
Is a you know, clear indication of that, no?
Well, you know, the zombie phenomena has been going strong for, God, a decade or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of the resurgence of science fiction. So that I think is a whole separate phenomena, which is kind of cool. I read that book because my wife was a big Jane Austen fan, and I just could not get into it. Mm. So I was trying to find some common ground. And so I read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, and so then we got to talk about Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy and all those people.
Well, wow. How do you actually feel about, you know, what sci-fi is doing now? Because I feel like back in the day, the shows, the movies were a little bit like, I don't know, cheesy, like on the low budget side. But now you have shows like The X-Bands and The Magicians, which are actually really, they're really awesome.
They take it to a different level.
You
really
know what
do.
I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, sci-fi... I mean, if we're talking about sci-fi the channel as opposed to just science fiction as the genre, sci-fi is making a serious effort to, it seems, to rebrand itself as, you know, a more serious science fiction destination, you know, as it was in the days of Battlestar Galactica, you know.
Which was a great show, by the way.
Which everybody loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so The Expanse, I've been just catching up on it on DVR, and I just sort of binged on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a pretty cool show.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dark and it's claustrophobic, but in a surprisingly effective way. And you know, they had the Arthur C. Clarke miniseries, Childhood's End, which was pretty cool. So I have, you know, I have great hope for sci-fi. Plus, even a couple of their apparently lower budget shows, you know, the one about the space bounty hunters.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I can't remember the title, but that one's pretty cool. So I see good things happening on sci-fi, and I like the direction they're going. You know, and I could see, I mean. You know, I don't know. I'm not part of the sci-fi programming department, but I could see a future where sci-fi is not known for the cheesy low budget stuff, but is known for, you know, really quality science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once or twice a year, they'll have one of these cheesier movies like Sharknado. I hope Sharknado, you know, continues as an annual phenomenon.
Oh, it will.
It will.
We
it will.
Know it will.
And you know, that would be the fun exception rather than the rule. And I think that would be terrific. Because, you know, at heart, I'm a serious science fiction guy, you know, who likes to play every once in mm-hmm. a while. And so I think that would be a great way for the network to go. We'll have to see what happens.
Here's something I wanted to ask last time and didn't. I mean, it's a pretty simple question, but you're the perfect guy to ask because you're in the genre, you write the genre. What makes great science fiction? What do you need? What has to be there?
You know, I think it's real. I mean, this is the boring answer, but I think it's really the same as any other form of drama, of entertainment, is you need conflict and you need great characters. You know, and in Sharknado, we still have that. We have, mm-hmm. there's no better conflict than sharks trying to eat you.
Right.
and you know, Finn and Nova and April, I think they've become real fun flesh and blood characters, though, with their own problems and their family dynamics and everything going on. I mean, considering how silly the movies are, I think we get a lot of value from the Shepherd family drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what any good science fiction is about.
Well, what about Lavalantula? What do you think about that movie?
Yeah, tell us about that one.
It's not sharks. It's spiders that are shooting fire out of their eyes. You know what I mean? It's
yeah. I didn't have anything to do with
no.
that. Obviously, they're trying to capitalize on the success of Sharknado.
But it's got to make you feel good. I mean, because you've stumbled upon a formula here that works. I mean, it's worked for three movies. We know there's a fourth coming. People enjoy it. People like it. And it's good, clean fun within the genre.
Right.
Any art form needs to have its good, clean fun.
Agreed.
And, yeah. and it's important to have that. And you're not afraid to examine it in that way. We sat there that night, my wife and I and my son, and we laughed.
Mm.
And I mean, and that's the
key.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's a fun movie, and so we're excited about four, especially if we end up in it. So.
He's giving you a laugh because he's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
I think you need to, you know, if I were directing these movies, yes. I would be happy to do that.
See that?
Oh,
up to
thank
me.
You.
There you go.
And Anthony Ferrante has people that he wants to put in it. But, you know, tweet it out to him.
Yes.
And,
we
you
will.
Know, who knows?
Damn right we will. So there we go. All right. Well, it would be just kismet as we both wrote that name down at the same time. Once again, he is our personal king of science fiction. He is Thunder Levin. And as always, thank you, Thunder, for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Thunder.
All right, it's always great to talk with you. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoppa.
This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.